But who doesn't love, in the middle of an NFL season, a former quarterback who's in the news? And for those of you,
that's right, guys. Yeah, listen. I am out of this thing.
Yeah.
I am out of here.
By the way, that would be phenomenal if you just announced on the air. By the way, guys, whatever you decide to do next segment, I'm not here.
Out of this thing.
Back up Trevor Lawrence for Herb in Jacksonville. That way I can get him in and out of Urban's Pine House.
For Herb. Yeah, okay.
Herb, you know.
Okay. That's just singular.
Sounds interesting. Yeah.
You really did make that sound awkward.
Like, well, listen, yeah. I mean,
for Herb, like, it's a specific thing, you know?
You know, it's
like
our guy,
Herb.
Just
going up and smoke or something.
You go smoke it up.
That's our guy.
With the left hand.
There's a story out there that potentially Cam Newton could be making his way back to the NFL at some point. Now, Cam Newton spoke on his YouTube channel over the weekend, said he's fully vaccinated, that he's ready to go. There's been some discussions, apparently, according to Pete Carroll and company in Seattle, the Seahawks head coach spoke about the potential of Cam Newton being a Seattle Seahawk.
We've already talked to him. We're talking to everybody that could help us, you know, and to go right back to the base philosophy that we always, you know, we upheld here is that, you know, we're going to be competing in every turn with whoever would be available. And we're on it.
NFL reporter Josina Anderson said, you know, most likely it's not going to happen. But nonetheless, Cam Newton, Brady, a potential Seattle Seahawk, a place you've spent some time at in your career. What do you think about Cam Newton, Seattle? Big time.
Yeah, I mean, that's a potential shot there. I'm not sure. I mean, is that an upgrade over what Geno Smith did? I mean, he looked good coming in relief for Russell Wilson. I don't think he did anything to hurt himself that much playing Pittsburgh. I mean, one, it's a tough defense. That's part of it. That was on the road through a tutty. It wasn't like they're the most prolific, you know, team, but I don't know. I guess I'm just curious, like, can he get up to speed in that offensive system fast enough? It'd be very different for him. You know, Shane Waldron, their offensive coordinator, he runs a version of what Sean McVay had. And to the best of my knowledge, I don't believe Cam Newton's come across an offensive system during his time in Carolina, or definitely not with the New England Patriots, that's anywhere close to that. So I think there would be a learning curve there. And by the time he maybe feels even comfortable enough to go out in a game, you might be getting Russell Wilson coming back, or at least in a full, you know, full pads out there running through a 2-minute drill on the field before games. You know, so it might mimic you thinking
that's a good point.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah. But LeVar, you tell me. I mean, is Cam Newton an upgrade over what they've got in Geno Smith right now?
That creates a dilemma for me, because I do believe Cam Newton is a better quarterback than Geno Smith. Is Cam Newton a better quarterback and a better option right now today, as you mentioned, based upon understanding the you know, complexities or the dynamics of what the offense has to present? I'm not sure of that. You know, what it ultimately leads me to think, and what it leads me to believe, is that this is a serious situation with Russell Wilson. If you're talking about bringing in other quarterbacks that could actually keep you guys afloat until he gets back, how long does that mean Russell Wilson is going to be out for?
Dude, it's at least another 5-6 weeks. I mean, I try to tell everyone, once you put a pin in, you really can't speed up the healing process. You got to leave it.
Gotta
it's going to be in there at least.
Yeah.
At least, I mean, my two in there were for 6 weeks.
Yeah,
you know, it will be
at least 3-4. Yeah, it's
going to be even longer than that. So it takes a while for that to come back. I don't know why anyone thought it would be any time before that 5-week period.
Well, and that to me is the key. If this is going to be an extended vacation for Russell Wilson and that healing process, then you got to ask yourself the question. If you brought in Cam and you made sure that he could understand the offense well enough to operate with those guys, does he give you a better chance of winning than Geno Smith, knowing the system and being what he is to this team? Sure, I think that the Steelers did well to defense him. But there's just something about Geno Smith that just leaves me kind of like, I don't know, like maybe it's his demeanor. You know, I hate to get into like, you know, ever talking about a player's ability to play based off of maybe what a personal opinion or assessment of the person would be. But Geno Smith just doesn't do it for me. Like when I watch him play or I watch how he is, he doesn't exude I'm in command, I'm leading this team, let's go get this done, let's play hard, let's play well. It's the total antithesis of what Russell Wilson has represented. I mean, even at the end of the game, it's like Russ is going out for the coin toss. You know, you're not even in the game. You're going out in the coin toss situation. So if you brought in Cam, the one thing is, would Cam want to do that knowing that he's on borrowed time, for one? Two, could this team coexist with Cam becoming the starter until Russ gets back? And what is that? What relationship dynamic does that create? Because they're probably going to fall in love with Cam when he comes in. So now what does that mean? What does that mean for Geno Smith? Is he done?
Will they, though?
I don't know.
You think
they'll fall
in love with him?
I think they would. I think he brings that leadership quality. I think he has that something about him that guys tend to gravitate to him, whether it's because he's a hero to them or whatever it may be. I think they're going to gravitate to him if they were to bring a Cam Newton in. But Pete Carroll sounded the same exact way when they asked him about Colin Kaepernick. And I'm not trying to make this into a black quarterback thing. It's just the coincidence
of it. Did they call him, you think? Did they give him a call? He hasn't played in 5 years.
But, I mean, he sounded the same exact way when he responded. So that's a tongue-in-cheek response that Pete Carroll had. They're not bringing Cam Newton in.
Okay, listen, I would like to and the last thing I want to do is call anybody out on anything on the show. That's the last thing I want to do.
Don't do that.
You know, I think we should point out that though, that, you know, there could be something to why LeVar is not the biggest Geno Smith fan. There could be something here. I think people of Pittsburgh kind of look down on West Virginia.
You kind of
look down on West Virginia a little bit. And so maybe because he's got that West Virginia background, you go, well, we don't really take them seriously. You know what I mean? Like, it just feels like maybe there's some of that going on.
That's a good pool. That is certainly a very strong pool.
Is there any legitimacy to people in Pittsburgh looking down on West Virginia?
There could, you know, that is the backyard brawl. I am not a Pitt Panther, so therefore I do not subscribe to the idea of what that represents. But I am a Pittsburgher, and I'm not going to say we look down on West Virginians. We're just better than them.
We're
just better than them, Brady. I mean, just is what it is.
Those are your words. I would like to say this about the state of West Virginia. Every time I go there, I'm pleasantly surprised how nice the people are, how beautiful parts of it are.
True.
Never been to Morgantown. I've always wanted to go. I've heard that is a nasty place to play as an away team. And so I'm thinking, you know, maybe we should get out there at some point. Get the show out there to West Virginia.
And then maybe that'll make me feel differently. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying, they don't have a Pittsburgh Steelers team. They don't have a Buccos. You know, they don't have the Bucks. You know, they don't have a hockey team that wins Stanley Cups with the most elite hockey players in all of the game. I mean, they don't have all. I mean, you know, they just don't have those things in West Virginia.
You're a hockey guy. Be still my heart. Is LeVar a hockey guy, Jonas?
Listen, I would like to. I don't mean to correct LeVar. What about the Wheeling? What about the Wheeling Nailers? The minor league affiliate of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Some Wheeling
minor.
Nailers.
And that's what I'm saying. We're major. They're minor.
Hey, you guys ever seen the movie Slapshot? That's one of my all-time favorites.
It's a great movie.
It's kind of weird.
It's like the Ringer, personally, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Is that the one where Stifler is? That's not the Ringer.
No.
Which one's the one with Stifler being man?
Is that Goon?
The Goon.
Maybe it's Goon.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that sounds familiar. By the way, anybody think that if if this was a legitimate thought that Cam Newton was going to be brought in, how do you think Russell Wilson feels about Cam Newton coming back? Because if he's going to be out a minimum 5 weeks, first of all, let's point out the obvious here. He's going to get really good at invisible huddles by that time. I mean, you imagine 5 weeks of practice doing invisible huddles.
Could he moonlight as a magician? I mean, is that what this is turning into? Maybe he's like a pantomime.
He's a mime. You know?
That's
a good point.
Imagine really seeing him on a strip in Las Vegas, just going through a two-minute drive. People are trying to walk by with their beard,
just
or
a phenomenal
the
yardstick,
and like all their beads around their neck from where they got those.
Yes.
I mean, he could get Sierra involved, and she could start.
Oh, my
God.
A residency there?
Yeah.
It could be a real thing.
That's a good point, man.
Mr. Unlimited.
Yeah.
You got to be unlimited.
Yeah. Mr. Team Guy. Team Guy through and through. Not about him. Here's the question. I asked LeVar this during a break yesterday, and I want you to be honest, right? Don't be one of these kiss asses who wants to cover up for former players and all this stuff. Answer this honestly. If you pulled Russell Wilson to the side and you said, hey, you could have one or the other the rest of your career, another Super Bowl or an MVP?
He'd say MVP.
100%. Good for you. That is the correct answer. That is the correct answer.
I didn't even pause.
The correct answer.
Yeah. He's got a Super Bowl. I think the MVP is like the next thing that distinguishes him. And I got to be honest with you, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong in saying this. I'll kick it to LeVar first. Does that make it easier on your resume as a Hall of Famer in your mind? Like, because I think two Super Bowls as a quarterback is one thing. But if you already got one, but being league MVP, that's like, well, yeah, he's definitely a Hall of Famer now. Because that's also on the horizon along with the MVP conversation.
That's correct. It does bolster your resume. But here's what the better question would be, fellas. Now let me pose this one. Let me stick this one to you. Let me drop this one in your lap so you can see what it is, all right? If Russell Wilson didn't have a Super Bowl, what would his choice be?
MVP.
Between MVP and Super Bowl.
MVP.
No.
Yes, it would be.
No. Because here's the deal. Is Matt Ryan a Hall of Famer?
No.
Okay, but if he had a Super Bowl and all of the stats that he's got, and let's just take away the MVP, do you look at him differently? Because the reality is this. If you believe Eli Manning gets in as a Hall of Famer, all right, Matt Ryan already has better stats. It's not even close, by the way.
But he's got MVPs.
He's got an
MVP. Super Bowl. And Super Bowl. Yeah, well, yeah.
And a Super Bowl appearance.
To one. He didn't win it. He's been to one.
Yeah, and a Super Bowl appearance.
All I'm saying is
Eli Manning. I'm talking about Eli Manning.
Yeah, Eli Manning.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, the difference is if you win a Super Bowl, now, you know, hopefully David Baker's okay. I know he just stepped down. But, like, David Baker opens the door and he's looking at you. I think if you add an MVP to that, it's a shoe and it's just a matter of when. That would be my argument for it.
But you would want the Super Bowl. You're saying Russ would want the Super Bowl. All things given, he had neither at the time. He
if
wants
he
a Super
neither,
Bowl.
I think he wants a Super Bowl first. Because that opens the door. And then if he gets an MVP, now he's walking through that door. Whereas if you're just an MVP, I should say just, but if you're an MVP and you don't have that Super Bowl, you're not going to get in as a Hall of Famer. I don't think. I think you need Super Bowls, especially as a quarterback, and this stigma that comes along with, hey, like, we use this argument all the time. Like, quarterback wins, people will say aren't a quarterback stat or they don't matter, until then we apply it to someone's Hall of Fame case and whether or not they won a Super Bowl. So it's like, we're just all big hypocrites when we talk about it.
That's how it works. So
the perception is you have to win a Super Bowl, and because it changes the way I think people look at you.
Okay, let me ask you this then. If we all agree that if you pulled Russell Wilson aside off air and said, hey, man, would you rather have an MVP or a Super Bowl?
He would say MVP.
Okay.
He
would say it on there? I don't think he would say it.
So.
I think he would say Super Bowl.
At this point, I think it would be okay for him to say it on air at this point.
I don't think he would.
Because he does have two appearances.
Because I think he still tries to give this impression of something that's not totally accurate anymore. And so I think he's going to tell you whatever answer you want to hear.
I think he's more flagrant about who he is and how he wants to be perceived. I think he's more comfortable with it. I don't think he's always been so comfortable. And I don't know what happened. Was it Tom Brady that made him, you know, shed his cocoon, his metamorphosed body came and came out, and he was a different person. He wasn't a caterpillar anymore. He was a butterfly or a moth, whichever one you want to call in on that side. I don't know. But he's different. He's almost evolved. And maybe this is his adulthood professional version of who he is. But he's a little bit – and flagrant isn't the right word. Maybe it's more – he's just more comfortable being the type of person that he truly is behind, you know, off the camera. He doesn't have to be this super overly, like, gracious person all the time. You can have a little bit of edge to you. You can have a little bit of attitude to you, and it's okay. It doesn't make you a horrible person or an arrogant person. And I think that Russ has gotten really comfortable with that. Maybe it's Sierra. Maybe it's his wife.
Maybe. I mean, but
I was going to say, what would he do just for an MVP vote at this point?
Go home.
Yeah.
Right? I'm the amen.
By the way, he'd vote for himself. I mean, he would vote for himself, no doubt about it.
And you can go to sleep.
Yeah, y'all got to go to bed. Yeah. Seattle, you got a deal. Yeah, my God. Unbelievable.
We got a deal.
Yeah.
Seattle, you got an MVP.
Hey, Seattle, I want to trade. Then let me deny it.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up later on this hour, we are going to get into just the onslaught in the world of sports here. We'll get to that in the scraps on FSR. Right now, though, it is an onslaught every Tuesday morning, and he's kind enough to join us here. He's the great Petros Papadakis, co-host of the Petros and Money Show on AM 570 LA Sports, Fox college football analyst.
What's up, Pop?
The one half of the Panic Brothers here on FSR. How we feeling, P? Dodgers down 0-2.
Yeah, it's a big night for the Dodgers. There's no doubt about it. But this is kind of the rites of autumn for Dodger fans. They're going to win in the playoffs. They're going to get down. They're going to either finish the series in a spectacular way, or they're going to go out with their tail between their legs. But this was the same as last year. Atlanta had a 3-1 and they couldn't close it out. So we'll see what happens. It just, every year, it's just kind of hard to keep track of which decision Dave Roberts made that didn't work and what people are super pissed about and attacking the front office for their analytics or getting away from their analytics or making a closer no longer a closer, putting your starter in into the eighth inning. All kinds of stuff like that. I have to listen to all the seam heads argue about for the next couple of weeks.
Now, are you going to be at the stadium with Matt Money Smith? Are you guys going to be there on location?
I don't know today. It's early, so I think we're just going to be on from like 9 to 11 and play some music and go, yo, you know, and get everybody all pumped up. And then it's pretty much how it works.
Right?
Yeah, well, either it's one or the other. Either you have somebody try to sound like an expert and saying things like the bump instead of the mound.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
You know, you get that.
Velo.
You
know?
I thought that was a reference to a Boogie Nights.
Velo, exit yeah. Velo. Why, yeah. You want to do a bump?
Yeah. No,
that's what I'm saying. That's
you want a bump?
I played baseball. I don't think I've ever heard anyone call it a bump in my lifetime.
You don't know who's on the bump tonight for the Dodgers?
So
no idea. No,
Walker
Buehler. What's your panic level, Petros, with this whole series?
Oh, I don't care. I mean, look, I like to see my radio producer, Tim Cates, covers up Dan Patrick in the morning. You know, if the Dodgers are going, we get in L.A., we get scammed. You know what scam is?
Steve Sachs and Tim Cates, baby.
Yeah, Sachs and Cates in the A.M. Scam. My radio partner dubbed it that. And so we get my radio producer, who's like Jesus to me. He does a morning show with Steve while the Dodgers are playing. So he gets paid. So that's good. So I guess I care about that. And if the Dodgers win, it keeps everybody in a good mood. But I think like the executives get some kind of bonus. So they're always like, we need this many games, we need this many games, we need this many games in the playoffs. But I don't get any playoff bonus. No one gives me anything if the Dodgers yeah. win. In fact, I'm more important to the station if they don't, because they actually need to cover up some time. So, hey, whatever, man.
And it also gives the great Dave Weiss another few opportunities to not come through with tickets for people. So
that's mean. You know,
I'm just saying, there's that too. Oh,
Jonas, if you want tickets, just call me.
Okay, that's all right. Oh. Yeah, I'll just
if you need to go to a game, just let me know. Okay?
I'll do what I can.
Barking up the wrong tree.
I do want to get your thoughts on this. Nick Rolovich out at Wazoo. Look, he had a successful run at Hawaii, which is what led to the Washington State job, and now he's gone because of the COVID vaccine with four assistants. What do you make of that news?
Well, I mean, we've all kind of seen it coming, and it's sort of been developing for months, and I'm not sure it's been handled well, and I don't know. Is there... I mean, help me out here, because I'm not up on every state's laws when it comes to vaccines. I don't know if you have to be vaccinated to be the college football coach at other places. Like, do we know if Brian Kelly's vaccinated?
No.
I don't. Yeah. I have no... Right? I assume he is.
You assume. Yeah, you assume
Most... They had a protocol that we had to be able to adhere to in order to go there in person. So I assume, like, they have to abide by if we had to abide by, right?
Right. It's, I mean, you could say a lot of different things about it, and a lot of people are when it comes to Rolovich. I loved the hire when they made it. I thought it was a great fit for what he created in Hawaii. I think to have a coach in Hawaii that really creates a family feel, ohana, and keeps, you know, everybody pulling the same oars in a very difficult place. I thought he did a really good job in Hawaii. And I was really impressed with him last year, talking to him during the pandemic and getting his team together. And the truth is what everybody says the truth is. Nick Rolovich has every right to not be vaccinated. But they also have every right to fire him if he's not. And that's the basic truth of it. And I think John Wilner said it best, as he said, who suffers the most is the players from the whole situation. The interim, Dickert, I really like. He's their defensive coordinator, and he comes from the same coaching tree as the North Dakota State, you know, Craig Bohl, Bill Klieman people through Wyoming and Kansas State. So those teams translate well to the next level. And he's a good defensive mind, especially for that place. I think they had Alex Grinch was the last really good defensive coordinator they had under Leach, and he couldn't cut it because Leach is so hard to coach with. So I think that they're going to be okay going forward with the interim. I think they're a good-looking football team. They have a great dual-threat quarterback in Jaden Delora. The only reason he's there is because of Rolovich. He's a Hawaii guy. So it's a sad situation, and I hate to see somebody so vilified over something that usually we don't know about. You know, we don't know what people and their status medically usually is. So we're in a new territory, but the truth is those were the rules, and he didn't want to comply with the rules, and it happened to be the rules in that state. And in the world of football, everybody's kind of supposed to be in it together and doing the same stuff and be in the same level of commitment. And I guess you could very much argue that displayed that he wasn't doing that by not getting the shot. But I think I'm not as I don't have all the torches and the pitchforks and storming the castle to go get Rolovich out of his office like a lot of people. To me, it just is a sad situation because the players suffer. And I don't think he was a bad coach, and I don't think he's a bad man.
Yeah.
I think this was some kind of big stumbling block for him, and he's obviously made his decision, and he's going to have to live with it. But I don't love all the celebration and the dancing on his grave either.
It's odd. I mean, the whole thing is obviously very complex but odd with people, like, celebrating. But
well, they take a political stance, you know. It's a political stance. It's great for people to see people that want every single person to be vaccinated. They get something out of it if he's fired, I guess. And people that feel as if there's a great injustice being done and their civil liberties are being violated in this situation, they are horrified and using it as a banner as well. And it just, it causes more division. And I just, I'm saddened by the situation, to be honest, and less hot takey and more sad.
Can I ask you about what happened with Ed Orgeron at LSU? Because I know you've got some
people
background.
Are crazy.
Ed Orgeron?
So is he.
Or,
yeah. They're all crazy. Hey.
We're all crazy.
Hey,
we're not crazy.
He's not married anymore, P. What's the problem here?
Well, look. I mean, Ed told me a story once. I think I told you this, you know, about a guy in the Bayou when he was a kid who just walked into a bar with a wrestling mask and a duffel bag and unzipped the duffel bag and let a bunch of alligators go on the dance floor. And that's like, that's every day for Ed. So whenever you mix that, right, with tens of millions of dollars and the brand that is LSU football.
Go Tigers.
When they lose a game, they're going to fire him. I mean, I remember when he lost to Troy, and I can't believe he kept his job after that. And then he turned it around and he won a title. Here's the thing with Ed. I've been with Ed since 1998 and talked to him every year for, you know, a couple times
so
a year.
So you can understand him when he talks. Yeah. I need subtitles or something.
Yeah. I'll never forget, you know, I mean, he's a big personality, and anybody in the world of football knows Coach O now. I met him in 1998. You know, I walked into the weight room at 5:45 in the morning when we hired a new coaching staff under Paul Hackett, and that was our D-line guy. And he had been maligned. He had a lot of great success at Miami, but he had been maligned a little bit.
Straight off the set of Sling Blade, right?
Is basically. That
what he, yeah.
And actually, he was coming from Miami with Erickson, so not so much Sling Blade at the Clevelander.
Yeah, it was still slinging.
And slinging for real. And he was like, I was like, who's this guy? And he looked at me, and he was doing cleans. At 5:45 in the morning, he said, "God damn, UCLA D-line coach ain't going to beat me today." And I was like, holy God. You know, and I always said, you know, football's already stupid, and now we have this guy, you know. I love Ed Orgeron, and he's a real coach. You know, I've seen him really coach defense and really mold defensive linemen and really attack recruiting. The problem is, if he doesn't have that special offensive coordinator with him, and this is the problem with a lot of defensive coaches, right? The team just loses their identity if the offense isn't perfect alongside the defense that he's going to coach. And that was his problem at Ole Miss. They couldn't figure out the offense. That's been the problem at LSU without Joe Brady. If he got another job, what's Southern Miss?
Well, what about Miami? That Miami job might come open.
Oof. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be an interesting interview when he's no longer married, so that's always a thing. But all I'm saying is it's an interesting situation, and I'll be curious to see where he goes. There's going to be broadcasting opportunities. He could go to the Alabama coach rehab for a while and help them out. Anybody that has him on their staff is really in the red. I mean, they're in the black, right? You're making money.
USC maybe, right there.
I don't know. I think there's a lot of water under the bridge there, and they need a true administrator and CEO as a head coach. So I'm not sure that's the right fit right now. But, hey, I love Ed, and he's the devil I know. Like, anywhere Ed goes, like, you know, he might hire me to be the get back guy.
Petros, I want to ask you, did you have a chance to see what Brett Bielema said basically about his team? There's a clip that's kind of gone viral.
Do you want to hear it? Should we?
Well, I did an Illinois game this year. It can't be worse than what he told me in private.
Do you want to hear the? This is from Brett Bielema yesterday. This is the Illinois coach.
This
the
guy can coach.
Going to have to change to get to where we want to be to win a championship. So I recognize that probably midway through the spring last year, through the summer, just certain positions haven't maybe played out the way they envisioned them to. In particular, the offensive line, I don't believe we have a player in the two deep that they've recruited here over the last 3 years that is really significantly doing anything for us in the playing department. And that's a major concern.
That's awesome. I remember.
But you're saying he told this to you.
Well, I mean, he said, look, dude, I'm not going to say who it is, and it wasn't Bielema, but I was doing a game this year. And these coaches, you know, I've done this a while, and sometimes they look at you and tell you the truth, you know, and because they know I'm not going to go on air and tear them apart. After a little while, they come to trust you in my little world of football, which is different than the big noon. But, you know, when the coach looks at you and says, hey, Petros, we aren't worth an S. And you just go, okay, coach said, quote, we aren't worth an S. I mean, Bielema said to us that his team was just really having a hard time overcoming adversity. And when something bad happens, they kind of freak out, and it seemed like a product of the past. That was kind of the worst thing he said to us. But I remember we missed on an O-line class at USC, like a big class. And you could say that's what got John Robinson fired, you know, now that we're in SC Notre Dame week. And I remember we had a bad performance from one of our young O-linemen or something, or two of them were in the game. And they asked our O-line coach, Mike Barry, who's Joe Barry's dad. He was a famous O-line coach in those days. They asked him, you know, assess the performance of your two new guards in the game. And he said, crappy and crappier. And he sent it to the Daily Trojan, right? So it was like then the newspaper, all, you know, it's all laying around all day, you know, on campus. And then he went around the facility collecting the paper so none of the guys would see.
I mean,
like any of those guys see the paper yet? I don't know, man. It's got a big stack under his arm.
Do you think players on Illinois, how do you think they're going to receive that? Or is this more just, you know, at this point, he's like, listen,
I mean, what if that's happening on tape? You know, I mean, if they're getting dogged out on tape every day and the coach is like, look, we're getting killed. I mean, the truth is the truth. I mean, if you're not playing well, it's not like there's not a lot of hiding in football. You know, I mean, there's a lot less hiding in the world of, like, boxing and UFC. Those guys are completely naked to the world. And I respect them even if they get knocked down in 2 seconds. But in football, you put the tape on and it's you and me in the A-gap. And, you know, we're going to know who turned it down. Yeah. And if you turn it down, you know, 20 times in a game and hurt your team and it's on tape and everybody's sitting there watching it together, I mean, that's a harsh statement to make publicly, but at the same time, it seems like he knew what he was saying and he knew what he wanted to say. And he's very, very in tune with what an offensive line should be and how it has to be. And I like the hire of Bielema in Illinois. I think he'll get
it going.
Yeah, he knows the Big Ten and he'll do well.
Yep. It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, and he is Petros Papadakis, co-host of the Petros and Money Show on AM570 LA Sports, also analyst for Fox's college football coverage, which includes Nevada Fresno State this weekend. Petros.
Carson Strong versus Jake Haener. It's a better quarterback matchup than you're going to get in the Pac-12 right now.
Yeah. Petros, in all honesty, I think every single pundit analyst come draft time needs to be talking to you. You've called more Nevada games than anyone else. You've got to have a good feel for Carson Strong. And if he's, I don't know. I mean, at this point, I'm not sure who the top quarterback, you know, is.
But it might
class.
Be him. I mean,
it might be him,
I don't,
right?
I'm not one of those, like, you know, ooh, look at him. But he's special. Like, he whips it from the opposite hash 50, 60 yards on a line. He sees everything. The ball gets out beautifully. He moves pretty well, even though his knee's a little banged up this year. I love the player. And Jake Haener's a stud. We all saw his really inspirational performance against UCLA. And then I'll be back in the Pac-12. I think Washington, Stanford, a week after that.
Nice.
Alex Fowler.
Dude, Stanford's coming around, too.
Yeah, they just lost to the Cougs. But it's right. Notre Dame week, and we're not even talking about the Shillelagh. How sad. How sad. How far the mighty have fallen. Notre Dame's going to run for 400 yards on USC.
I don't know. It's not the same O-line. I think it'll be more competitive than people think. I do.
Are they better than Oregon State's O-line?
I think. I don't know if they're better.
They're probably
going to
run for 400 yards.
So get him on Twitter, at the old P. Petros, enjoy the Dodger coverage. The Panic Brothers are back, baby. We'll be listening later on.
Thanks,
you know,
Pop.
Those questions from LeVar are really good.
Well, he's on FS1.
I know. Yeah, everybody's listen, like, yeah. Does he boycott you? Does he not lie? Like, no, I don't think it's that.
Yeah. Interesting.
It's not that. Well.
Could be, though.
Yeah, we could stir it up a little bit.
Do it.
Petros, we'll do it again next week, man.
Go Irish.
He's the best. He's the best. It is two pros and a cup of Joe. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next, we got a couple of things to get to. Number one, there's a story that's got gambling involved. That's always a good time. Number two, absolutely out of nowhere, with ties to Brady Quinn, it's the hottest thing in the world of sports. It's yours right here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it, you listen to it, I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. It is the scraps here coming up momentarily on Fox Sports Radio. Dynamite job by LeVar Arrington on FS1.
I thought you were talking about me beatboxing just now.
Well, yeah, I mean that
no,
too.
No, both. Yeah, both.
I mean that
both.
Too.
Yeah.
So, guys,
I'm just trying to be as much like Brady Quinn as I possibly can by the time
this.
I make it to my adult life.
Aren't we all?
If I can achieve a tenth of what Brady Quinn is right now in the media game, I'm going to be happy.
I agree.
So I got to work hard, man.
I need to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, I'm going to buy some.
I got to look at my daughter's diaper.
Yeah, I'm going to buy some prop glasses.
I got to go look at Jonas in her diaper.
Yeah. Does Jonas have a twin?
Yeah, I'm going to buy some fake glasses as well too, and pretend like I need them for the camera.
Oh, I appreciate that. You can ask my optometrist.
I don't believe it.
I don't know how to help you.
I think you paid off the optometrist.
I just didn't even know that you paid that much attention to Brady that closely. I mean, I wouldn't even. Been able to pull that one.
Well,
but
you should hear the things he
says
about
me. Now that you said it, now I'm going to pay attention.
You should hear the things he says about me when I'm on whenever I do TV hits. He makes it seem
like
I'm
was with him
dead.
In Iowa City. He did tell me a few things about you offline.
Yeah, not surprising. Not surprising at all.
You know, and when we're all together one day, like how you were supposed to be there, maybe
supposed
we'll all
to
share
be.
Those.
Oh,
those
supposed
together.
To be.
You know,
maybe you would have ended up on the PJ.
I highly doubt that.
He sure as hell would have.
Yeah, I highly doubt that.
Jonas, your trajectory is high, sir. You know,
well,
look at who you're doing a show with, man.
Yeah, but I represent the common man. You know, I like to mingle with the people. I'm not really one of these private.
That means you have a much higher ceiling than what we have, Jonas.
I don't know about that.
You know what I mean? Because we transitioned out of common man like when we were like 11.
Yes, that's a good point. and I'm still there.
Then we became something like different, something other. So your ceiling is way higher than ours right now.
Well,
Jones.
Yeah, but the problem is
take advantage.
The problem is I'm never going to reach that ceiling. That's the only point.
You can come close though.
Well,
come on.
Well, before we come close, let's get into this.
Let's go.
You moron.
You
moron.
How could you not get to these stories?
You moron.
These are the scraps.
And for that, we turn it over to the great Lee DeLapp to find out what the hell we've missed so far on the show, Lee.
Guys, Red Sox went up 2-1 in the ALCS over the Astros, in part thanks to this grand slam by Kyle Schwarber.
3-0 to Schwarber. He kicks and he delivers. Swing. There's a long drive to right field. Deep toward the grandstand. Tucker looking up. It is gone into the grandstand. Grand slam, Kyle Schwarber. 6-0 Red Sox. Can you believe it?
Courtesy of Red Sox Radio. That was their
People
third
are so
Grand
happy
Slam.
About the Astros being down.
It's
right
a bummer.
Now.
My yeah. Astros. It's okay. A real bummer, man.
Cheaters.
Your Astros?
Yeah. It's my, okay. Listen.
Was it Schwarber with the Cubs?
Yeah, listen, yeah, but you know what? Things happen.
Interesting.
I mean, you know, things happen. Schwarber, by the way, hits bombs.
Yeah, he does.
It's just no doubters.
Just bombs,
hold of
you know?
Him. And by the way, Brady Quinn, your in-laws, Boston people.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. They're rooting for him.
Damn right.
I'm pulling for him because I'm doing it to be a company man.
Yeah.
All right?
Oh, okay.
We need Boston,
right.
L.A. Those
Sometimes
are the two big,
you gotta
big
be a
markets.
Good company.
Big
yeah.
Brands.
Yeah.
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 Like bombs, though. Schwarber hits, yeah. man. Bombs.
Right. Just that's nice.
Gigantic.
Nice guy.
Bombs is what Birdo hits. Bombs.
Made fun
oh,
of
wait. Oh, I'm
buddy.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm
getting
sorry.
Made fun of by my buddy.
Bombs.
Well, what else we got, Lee?
You guys, San Jose Sharks forward Evander Kane has been suspended 21 games without pay after submitting a fake COVID-19 vaccination card to the NHL and to the Sharks.
There's more to this story. So I think his girlfriend narked him out. Because if you read down, Lee, and you could tell me, but I read this, and I was like, there's more to this story, and I think there might have been a rat involved in all
That's
this.
That's cold-blooded.
Well, she
Jonas
also said...
love rats.
Well, yeah, I mean, she also
Feed
said that...
cheese.
Yeah, she also said that he had was gambling on games as well, too. I think it was his ex-wife said that he was gambling on his own games.
Man.
Which, you know...
Yeah. Nothing like a woman's phone, I'll
Can I say this, though? Because I did hear... I was talking to an NBA player, and they were talking about the difficulty of making a choice of whether or not they want to get vaccinated. And one of the things they brought up was...
say married.
No, not at all. That's a different deal. He was like, some players spend, no lie, $1 million on their body a year. They're like, and then you think they're just going to throw a needle in their body? Like, they spend $1 million a year, and they're just going to inject themselves like that. I was
true.
Like, yeah, that's a fair point, I guess.
Well,
I don't know.
That's very true.
$1 million.
Some athletes have spent $1 million on
booze. I'm
going to
go look at diaper
you know
bombs.
Happens, man.
Diaper
drink!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.